You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Now, emergency rooms around the country are swamped, many of them right now, but not just because of COVID-19. Some hospitals are reporting that patients who put off treatment for chronic conditions earlier in the pandemic are now showing up in the ER with even worse problems. It's gotten bad enough in some places that even patients who arrive by ambulance aren't guaranteed a room. One patient told Michigan Radio he went to a Lansing hospital and wound up getting a full physical exam in an ER overflow area in front of strangers. Our next guest works in an emergency room and says this is what happens when emergency department staffers lack the resources to handle so many different demands at once. You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Have you had to go to the emergency room lately? What was it like? Did you see these kind of conditions, or did things go smoothly where you were? Did you have to put off care for a condition earlier in the pandemic that maybe made things worse, maybe put you in an ER situation? And on the other side of things, if you work in an emergency room, what kind of things are you seeing? What do you want people to understand about what's going on in ERs today? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can email ideas@WPR.org. Dr. Lisa Moreno is president of the Milwaukee-based American Academy of Emergency Medicine. She's a professor of emergency medicine at Louisiana State University Health Sciences Center, New Orleans. Dr. Moreno, thanks a lot for joining us today.
It's my pleasure. This is a topic that's really important, and I'm glad you're exploring it.
How would you describe what's happening in especially some of the hardest hit emergency departments right about now?
So a lot of stuff is going on. We are seeing a rise in COVID in a lot of major cities. This is sort of a pandemic of the unvaccinated, this current wave that's taking place. But we're also seeing a lot of the patients that you described in your introduction. These are individuals who have chronic conditions like COPD, diabetes, congestive heart failure, hypertension. And these individuals were afraid to come to the emergency department in the middle of the COVID pandemic, especially at a time when we didn't have vaccinations. Couple that with the fact that their private doctor's offices were closed, that the clinics were closed. And so these individuals stayed home and their chronic conditions became worse. In some cases, they were not able to get prescription refills because of the fact that their doctor's offices or clinics were closed. They're coming into us now and they are very sick and we are under-resourced. We have had staff cuts and so we are less able to take care of them than we were before.
People who work in emergency rooms through COVID, I mean, we've been hearing again and again concerns for their morale, the staff in hospitals, emergency rooms in particular. This has been grinding on for a long time now. Now this new problem with overcrowded emergency rooms, are we losing people? Are people just going to leave the emergency medicine profession?
Well, you know, that's more common among nurses than it is among physicians, but even physicians are considering leaving the field. We definitely are suffering from poor morale. We were called heroes during the midst of the pandemic. And I have a bumper sticker, and a lot of other people do, saying, don't call me a hero, just give me what I need to do my job. And that's sort of what the problem is. We are under-resourced. When the COVID pandemic hit, obviously, most of our, especially urban emergency departments, were really crowded. But then we saw a decrease in our census. And that was because people weren't coming, as we've already established, because they were afraid to come and they were holding out unless they were in extremis. So the census was down and hospitals started cutting staff. Less doctors on every shift, less nurses on every shift, closing inpatient beds upstairs. And I will tell you that in my mind, that's poor planning. It may have been a good business decision so that the hospital would not lose money, but it was poor planning from a medical and a service standpoint, because now we're seeing all of these patients showing up and they're very sick, and we have less doctors and less nurses working in the emergency department. These patients are waiting longer to be seen. As you said, people are coming in an ambulance and not getting a bed. They're waiting 45 minutes on an ambulance stretcher before they can get into a bed. I have examined people in waiting rooms. I have examined people in lounges. I have pulled people out of the waiting room and just examined them in the hallway to try to be able to get people out more quickly who are not severely ill. And when patients are admitted, they are staying in the emergency department. We call that boarding. They are boarders in our department when they've actually been admitted to an inpatient service. But because the hospital has cut staff, a lot of the beds upstairs on the inpatient unit are closed because there are no nurses to staff those beds. And so the patient just stays in the emergency department, sometimes for 48 hours, 72 hours, until eventually a bed opens upstairs for them to be able to occupy. And patients don't get as good care when they're boarders in the emergency department because the docs who are responsible for their care are actually upstairs on the inpatient unit. And we, the emergency department physicians, technically are no longer responsible for their care. Certainly we'll help out if the nurse tells us there's, you know, an emergency going on with those patients. But our focus is on the guys in the waiting room, the patients in the waiting room who are trying to get in and get stabilized and get their emergency care.
Talking to Dr. Lisa Moreno, president of the American Academy of Emergency Medicine, emergency physician at the Louisiana State University Health Sciences Center in New Orleans, looking at overcrowding now in many hospitals, at emergency rooms and hospitals around the country. You can join in if you have an experience to share as a patient or family member. Have you seen things working well in your local emergency department, or have you seen this crowding? If you work in emergency rooms, what are you seeing? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Dr. Moreno, what kind of solutions are you looking for? I mean, it seems like it would be expensive to maintain a lot of capacity in emergency rooms when we don't need it. But then when we do need it, that's obviously creating a lot of problems. As you've been pointing out, what kind of solutions do you want to see?
Well, I think, and a lot of my colleagues share this opinion, I think that medicine has to be run less like a business and more like a service to our public, to the taxpayers in this country, to the people that are supporting the medical system in this country. When you run medicine like a business, you are not going to be prepared for a disaster. You are going to be prepared for the status quo. When you run medicine like a service, you have to be prepared for a disaster. As we know, when we look at what goes on in the world today, there are tsunamis, there are earthquakes, there are floods, there are forest fires, there are mass shootings, and there are unexpected epidemics and pandemics like happened with COVID. We know this happened with Ebola in the past. We know that we've had other H2N1. We've had other pandemics, not so much pandemics, but epidemics in the past. When you run a service organization, when you have to provide medical care for patients, you have to be ready for the unexpected. As emergency physicians, we have no idea if we are going to get, you know, seven patients from a multi-car collision, all of whom are severely injured. We have to be ready for that. We have to have all the equipment and the staff and the personnel to be able to handle that. So you can't necessarily just staff for day-to-day operations in an emergency department. You have to be prepared for emergencies. That's kind of the definition of what we do.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Lisa is with us in Burlington. Lisa, hi.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to bring up, I just absolutely echo everything of the person that is speaking right now as an emergency department nurse. I wanted to bring up that I think what I'm seeing a lot of is moral distress in the staff, because many of us that went into this, you know, field came into it because we're empathetic, because we care about people. And what we have been doing for the past couple of years and what we're seeing is causing a huge amount of moral distress. And some people are just leaving the profession because of that.
Lisa, do you feel like there's support out for you on that? Is there somebody you can turn to and talk about what sounds traumatic. I don't want to throw that word around lightly. Do you have somewhere you can go and talk about this stuff, you and your colleagues?
Yes, I do believe that they do offer us, places that we can have support for that. But the fact is you're still going in and you're doing it every day or, 40 plus hours a week. And how do you undo that, frequently? So it's difficult even for people that have high emotional intelligence.
Lisa, thank you so much for calling in and sharing that experience. Dr. Moreno, I assume you've seen that in your own ER.
Absolutely. And I am commending that nurse for calling in and talking about the moral injury that we do sustain. Part of the problem is that we still stigmatize any kind of mental distress. We still stigmatize people because they stand up and say, I need help. And we are the healers. And as the nurse knows, she is running around taking care of multiple individuals who need help. She is seen as somebody who is a problem solver and a fixer and somebody who remedies the distress of other people. She is not seen as somebody who could possibly have distress of her own. And this is what we're experiencing as healthcare professionals, to stand up and say, I need help, often is perceived as weakness. And as she said, you sustain this moral injury by seeing people suffering in a way that you cannot relieve when you are used to seeing that. We're seeing people in distress. We're seeing people waiting a long time to get upstairs to an inpatient bed or in from the waiting room into an emergency department bed. And then we feel helpless to be able to fix the situation. We go home and then we go back the next day to the exact same situation with no change. So yeah, it's great to have somebody to talk to about it. But if it never changes, then you just sustain the same moral injury the next day. So how would it be if you cut your hand and then, you go home, somebody puts a Band-Aid on it, and the next day you go back and the wound is ripped open again. It's very difficult to go in and sustain that kind of moral injury on a daily basis. And many of us feel helpless to change the situation.
Thanks again for calling and sharing that story. We're talking about emergency rooms, why they've become overcrowded, especially during the pandemic. Dr. Lisa Moreno is with us, president of the American Academy of Emergency Medicine, professor of emergency medicine at Louisiana State University Health Sciences Center in New Orleans. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have an experience that you can share with us from working in an ER or being a patient or a caregiver for someone going to an emergency room? Call it at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're talking about crowded emergency rooms in the U.S. Hospitals, many of them around the country, say their ERs are stretched to the limit with COVID and non-COVID patients. Many people who may have delayed treatment for chronic conditions that have gotten worse during the pandemic. Dr. Lisa Moreno stays with us, president of the American Academy of Emergency Medicine, professor of emergency medicine at Louisiana State University Health Sciences Center, New Orleans. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts, questions, or experiences. That's 800-642-1234. Back to your calls now. Jane is with us in Stevens Point. Jane, hi.
Hi. So in my experience, one of the huge overcrowding reasons is that there are so many people now coming to the ER for non-emergency situations. I think we're just in a we want to fix things now, society now. So if we think we have an STD, we're going to the ER. If our kid has a sniffle, we want to get antibiotics going right away. And the list goes on. And part of the reason also is that a lot of people also don't have primary care providers. So they turn to the ER as their primary care.
Jane, thanks a lot for bringing that up. Dr. Moreno, is that something you've seen?
Absolutely. So it is true that many people come to the emergency department for non-emergencies, but I hesitate to be critical of them. And the reason is that very often people don't realize that they don't have an emergency. they're frightened by the feeling that they're experiencing, the chest pain that they're having, the dizziness that they're having, or their symptoms have been going on for a long time and they haven't been able to get the primary care that they need because, as I said earlier, offices have been closed, doctors' practices have been closed, clinics have been closed. And even with things slowly reopening, individuals who are underinsured or uninsured or live in areas that are under-resourced and don't have access to good public transportation have a very hard time establishing ongoing primary care. And we are totally aware of the fact that we are the nation's doctor. Emergency physicians are the nation's doctors, and we take care of the vulnerable and the disenfranchised patients who are unable to get primary care. That's another gap that really needs to be filled. But again, if we continue to look at medicine as a business, then we are not encouraging clinics to take patients who are underinsured or uninsured.
Jane, thanks a lot for that call. We'll go now to Adam on the line in La Crosse. Adam, hi.
Hi. In addition to the issue of the administration of these clinics and hospitals running them as a business, which is a serious issue, on the other side of that, a good friend of mine works in one of the local hospitals here and tells me that it's become an aspect or a reflection of the political situation in the country. Many of the patients that come in to the emergency room or the hospital actually are quite abusive towards the medical personnel, and it's a reflection of the lack of belief in science and medicine as a reflection of science, and you have this thing of people just not believing that they have COVID or that they're actually that sick from COVID, and other aspects of ignorance leading to abusive behavior towards the hospital personnel.
Adam, thanks for that call. I've heard of that anecdotally. Dr. Moreno, is that something you've seen or heard from your colleagues around the country?
So, and I do, being president of AAM, I do have access to information from physicians all over the United States, and I would never deny to you that abuse of healthcare professionals takes place. It does take place, but it's not as common as you think. And often people are what someone may term abusive because they're frightened or they're frustrated. They don't quite know what is going on with them. And that's a scary place to be. The other thing, though, that the caller references is the political situation. And the political situation is extremely distressing to physicians. We do not understand how COVID and masking and vaccines have become politicized. The science is very, very clear. And when our citizens have role models, leaders, elected officials who stand up and say that COVID isn't real or that it's not necessary to wear a mask, or who refuse to wear masks in public, you know, whatever you know or don't know about science, it's pretty logical that if I put a barrier over my mouth and my nose and I'm not spewing saliva and respiratory particles onto the person next to me, that prevents disease. I mean, you don't have to be a scientist to know that. But elected officials continue to insist that masking is an issue of personal rights, that masking is related to whether you are Republican or Democrat. We as physicians are extremely distressed that our legislators are doing this, are engaging in this kind of behavior, and it's not helping the people who elected them. It's not helping their constituents. As the caller said, it's causing more problems. It's making more people sick.
Thanks for that call. We'll go to Derek now in La Crosse. Derek, hello.
So I had a question about, is there something that we could do to take the pressure off of our healthcare workers, like more money or supplies, or, you know, put up a temporary clinic or something like that.
Derek, thanks for the call. Yeah, apart from the long-term suggestion you had, Dr. Moreno, of more of a service model than business, is there something in the short run that could help emergency rooms like yours?
Absolutely. I would love it if every single person in this country would contact their legislators and let them know that you support your healthcare workers. We're not asking for more money. We're not asking for, you know, we just want enough physicians and enough nurses working in our hospitals to be able to serve the patients that we need to take care of. We want to have enough supplies readily available to us to be able to take care of the patients who come in and see us. Just last night, I had a patient who needed a simple procedure performed, and it took 2 hours to get the piece of equipment that I needed because the hospital is understaffed. We couldn't find a nurse would know what the piece of equipment I needed was, but the central supply staff didn't. It was very frustrating. Let your legislators know that they need to support physicians and nurses who are serving the public in this country. Let them know that you also don't want to see masking and vaccines politicized. I know that our elected officials listen to their constituents. And I think if constituents would speak up and say that, and I would love constituents to also speak up and tell their legislators that they believe that healthcare is a human right. Every human being is entitled to medical care when they need it.
And Dr. Moreno, that's all the time we have. Thanks for joining us today. Dr. Lisa Moreno is the president of the American Academy of Emergency Medicine. She joined us for a look at crowded emergency rooms around the country. Tomorrow on Central Time, a look at the infrastructure bill and the one that's following it. That and more tomorrow on Central Time.